In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you, to each one of you, from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, that was a long Old Testament reading, wasn't it? Were you able to keep attention, pay attention during the whole thing without letting your mind or thought wander somewhere? Well, just be glad that it didn't take 6 days and six nights to read it. You know, what we have in today's Old Testament reading is something very, very revolutionary in the thoughts of the world. In the ancient world, the pagan nations around Israel, it was believed that there were all kinds of gods who created the universe. They believed that the sun and the moon and the stars were God. And what the Holy Spirit does through Moses is put things in their proper order. Moses describes how God made the heavens and the earth, all that is out of nothing, by the very word of his command. Creatio ex nihilo is the Latin phrase. It means creation out of nothing. God spoke and it came to be. In Isaiah 55, we read, the Lord God says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So God said, let there be light. Nothing happened? No. God didn't have to say, let there be light. I said, let there be light. As soon as he spoke it, there it was. There was light. As soon as God spoke the word, the purpose for which he spoke that word was accomplished. In the preparatory service of confession and absolution with which the divine service begins, we have these words, our help is in the name of the Lord, and the response, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The God who forgives you all of your sin is the God who made the heavens and the earth by the word of his command. Nothing is too big for his word to accomplish or not to accomplish. God can do everything. He is omnipowerful. All powerful, thy strong word we sang. And God's word does exactly what he intends it to do. God's word bespeaks you righteous. He declares you to be righteous and holy for the sake of his son. He doesn't scratch his head and wonder, well, why didn't that take? Why is Randy still a sinner in my eyes? No, he doesn't do that. His word declared Randy to be righteous, Liz to be righteous, and each one of you to be righteous, holy, and acceptable in his sight. The God who made the heavens and the earth loves you, is not too removed from you to even take notice of you. No, this God gave his son to be made man, to be made a human being like you are. He takes notice of you. Jesus, the Savior, knows what it's like to eat and drink, to be sleepy, to be tired, to be hurt, to be afraid. He knows what it's like to suffer and die. And thanks be to God, He knows what it's like to be raised again. And you too will be raised again on the last day. Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, today's gospel reading begins, where He had made the water wine. That first miracle He did in Cana of Galilee was a miracle of creation. He took the water and made it wine. This identifies Jesus as He through whom the universe is made. As we confessed in the Creed, by Him all things were made. Jesus is the Word God spoke, the Logos, the Word through which, through whom God creates the universe, and through whom He will one day ultimately recreate the universe, recreate you, making all things new, so that the things that plague you in this world, sin, death, disease, sickness, loss, sorrow, pain, even old age, they will be no more, for there is no room for these things in the new creation which Christ shall one day usher in. Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, and at Capernaum there was an official of Herod's household, probably. You know, Herod the king, Herod the tetrarch, Herod the one who had John the Baptist imprisoned, Herod the one who, after his stepdaughter Salome said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter," reluctantly agreed to that. Herod, the one who made John the Baptist a martyr for the faith. So this official is right in there with Herod, probably sees Herod every day. You know, hobnobs with the rich and the powerful. And yet he hears about Jesus. Word comes to him about Jesus, who heals the sick, who makes the lame walk, who opens the eyes of the blind, who casts out demons. Word comes to him, and he had a hope. Hope that his son, who was deathly ill, could perhaps be restored by this miracle worker. He goes to Jesus. He finds him. He asks him to come down and heal his son, for again, his son is at the point of death. It's an anguished heart that causes him, an official in Herod's palace, to go to Jesus, a no-name wandering Galilean rabbi, and ask for help. Herod couldn't do anything for his son. All his money and wealth couldn't do anything for his son. Maybe Jesus, this nobody, could. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The "you" there is plural. Unless you all see signs and wonders, you all will not believe. There is a gentle rebuke here. Jesus' signs attested to him as God in the flesh, as God who had come down from heaven to be the Savior of the world. But no one was to put their hope in those signs, their faith in those signs. Their faith and hope was to be in Jesus alone. just as your faith and hope are to be in Jesus alone. Jesus seems to rebuke this man, but like the Canaanite woman whose daughter is possessed by a devil, he persists. He says to Jesus, he beseeches him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." There's anguish in his voice. And Jesus simply says to him, "Go." That's a command. Go. Your son will live. Now remember, Jesus had not seen the man's son who was at the point of death. Jesus did not do as the man had asked. He did not go down to Capernaum and lay his hands on the boy and raise him up. He merely spoke the word, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. And with a lightened heart, apparently, he went on his way back home. When you've got good news, you want someone who will benefit from that good news to hear it as soon as possible. So as the man was going down, his servants, who had stayed at home with his sick son, met him. They ran to meet him. They told him that his son was recovering. It was the next day. So he asked them, "What hour did my son begin to get better?" And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him, and he was better." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all of his household. And John concludes, this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Jesus makes all things new. Jesus' word has made you new. You are a new creation of God in Christ Jesus. Just as he created Adam and Eve, so he created you, recreated you by the power of his word, the word made flesh. We're told in Genesis that God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and Eve by taking a rib out of the man's side and fashioning it into a woman. God got intimate. It was hands-on, so to speak, when he made Adam and Eve. And so in recreating you, he gets intimate too, because the one through whom he recreated you and continually recreates you took on himself flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone in becoming man. God entered creation, became a creature himself to restore you, to forgive you, to save you, a lost and condemned creature, purchasing and winning you, not with silver or gold, but with the holy precious blood of Jesus Christ and with his innocent suffering and death. You have faith in Christ through the word spoken to you, through the word applied to you in the water of baptism. Your faith in Christ is strengthened by the words of distribution, "Take and eat, this is the body of Christ given into death for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of Christ shed for the remission of all of your sins. Depart in peace, you are forgiven. Depart in peace, you have life eternal in Jesus." Jesus raised the official's son up, and so he will raise you up when he returns in power and glory. And again, you won't have any weakness, any illness, any troubles at all in the resurrection. O blessed day, may it come quickly. You will be made forever new, and the things of this world that trouble you now will be forever removed from you. God says so in the word he has spoken, the word made flesh, the Logos, Jesus Christ, your Lord. Jesus says so too. Thanks be to God for Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.